Welcome to this episode of NAT Alliance Now. This is Mitch Dunford at the National Alliance. Today we are talking about remote working technologies and the insurance professional with my guests Steve Anderson and Kelly Searles. Almost everybody knows Steve. I mean, I was on your LinkedIn page today, Steve. You have 345,000 followers. So I think everybody knows you. Steve is a teacher. He's a part of our national faculty. He's been a speaker for many, many years, speaking across the country on various innovations and technical developments inside the insurance industry. He's also an author. He just published a book called The Bezos Letters, 14 Principles to Grow Your Business Like Amazon. And Steve, you and I have done a number of podcasts before, so thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's always great to be here with you, Mitch. Appreciate you having me.
We've also got Kelly Searles, CIC, CPRM, CISR. She's with the National Alliance. She was an academic director for a while, and then she moved over to business development to help out with corporate accounts. Kelly has 20 years experience as a manager of a personalized department here in Texas. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mitch. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You'll see the title of our podcast is all about remote working, and it's fascinating as a result of the coronavirus and all the ramifications from that in the areas that we live, that we're having a podcast about remote working while we're all working remote. So it's quite ironic. So let's just dig right in. Kelly, what are some of the new online educational options that the National Alliance is rolling out?
Well, with this change, we actually had to roll out some new things a little earlier than anticipated. So we are currently working on moving some of our faculty classroom courses online so that you can still get the classroom experience, but it can be from the comfort of your home if you are now working remotely, or from your office. And so we should be putting out some information on that shortly as well. One of the other things that we have is the corporate learning portal, where all of your employees can be on a subscription model with us and take all of your designation classes, such as your CISR and CPRM and CIC classes online, where they can get their designations now on a monthly class price instead of the normal classroom-based price, and they can obtain their designations.
So it's a monthly subscription.
Mm-hmm. And so they're not having to just take that one course a year anymore. They can just take as many classes as they want. So it's a great option, especially now with everybody working remotely. It's great.
So the CISR curriculum is being rolled out in a live instructor-led format mid-April. Is that correct?
That is correct. We're starting with some of our commercial courses, and then we will have our first five in the series roll out, and then shortly after, we'll have all of the CISR program courses available instructor-led.
Terrific. Steve, you know, remote working or working from home has become much more than a trend for obvious reasons with the virus and on. I was recently reading an article in Inc. magazine. The title of it was 7 Tips for Successfully Managing Remote Teams. And I wanted to just run this past both you and Kelly, these 7 tips, and kind of get your feedback on each one of them. These have less to do with technology and more to do with how you use technology to facilitate some of these tips and maintaining a relationship inside your business. So let me just go through these and you two can comment on them. The first one is have a daily check-in. What do they mean by that?
Well, I'll jump in on that first. And it's sort of interesting, Mitch. I've been talking and actually teaching for I don't know how long now. I'd have to go back and look, but for quite a few years. A title called The Virtual Agency, and you know, really exploring the options available for agents and brokers as they look at having workers not in the physical office. So it's not a new topic. And there's no question that all of the craziness right now, we're being forced to examine a lot of these things. So there's a lot of technology, technical stuff about remote working. But I think as important is the change management. I mean, people are being thrown into an environment now that, you know, they may not want, may not like, and or just learning how to navigate, you know, what it means not to be able to, you know, gather everybody together in the break room and, you know, talk about something or have a short meeting. So that is a bit of an introduction. You know, having a daily check-in, I think, is one of those tools that organizations can use to actually help people with this transition. We've been thrown into it fast. People are scrambling trying to figure out, okay, what even does my home, you know, work at home environment look like? I now have my spouse here and children here because schools are closed. How in the world am I going to be able to get anything done? And so I think we're all scrambling to figure that out. And frankly, we're going to make mistakes. And so having check-ins often with your team, whatever that looks like, and, you know, again, larger agencies, it might be department or groups, smaller agency, it might be the entire staff together, but having those frequent check-ins, certainly daily, maybe real short, and maybe a little longer one weekly about, you know, what are you feeling? How are things going? What's missing, right? Just having that conversation. And I strongly recommend that one, it is video, and two, you require the webcam to be on. Now, obviously, if somebody doesn't have one, that's a little different. But if you've got a webcam, if you're on a laptop, if you know you've got that capability, a lot of people don't like to view themselves in that environment, but we still need that connection.
Sure. Now, Kelly, you've been working at home now for a little over a week, and Steve mentioned this concept of how it makes people feel that have never really done it before. Do you have any thoughts? I mean, what are some of the emotions that you've been going through these last couple of weeks being forced to work at home? And how does a daily check-in help that?
Well, Steve, what Steve said was exactly right on about the webcams, and being able to have that face-to-face conversation has been key for me. I don't have a lot of face-to-face interaction here at home with nobody else here. So I am needing that face-to-face. But what was interesting is I reached out to a couple of my friends within the industry just to see what they were doing, what their companies are doing. And I was talking with a manager of another personal lines department. And I said, you know, what do you like this? Do you not like this? She said, I love working from home. She said, the only thing that I don't like is I don't get that daily interaction with my staff or with my coworkers. And I asked her this question. I said, are you having that daily check-in? And she said, no, that's too much to put on my staff. And then I explained to her about what we've talked about habit change. And you have to change these habits to accommodate this changing time that we're in. And you have to make the team collaboration and that face-to-face conversation one of your most daily interactions, or else you lose people. You lose the team feeling that we all desire. Like Steve said, we are all wired for connection. And if we're not getting wired and getting that fix of connection, you'll start to see processes fail. And so that daily check-in is important. And that's something that we're doing here. We're having, I'm seeing some teams have a daily coffee meetup. We set up a team channel called Pretty Fly for a Wi-Fi. So we actually have scheduled an after hours happy hour so that everybody bring your own snacks, bring your own drinks, and let's catch up on the day. What were your pain points? But it gives you such a great opportunity as well to talk about what technologies are you using to change some of your habits to make this work for you. And it gives you that team feeling and sharing those ideas as well. So daily check-ins, in my mind, they are the number one important piece of this.
Yeah, the next bullet point that Inc. magazine suggested was communicate a lot, which ties into this daily check-in. What do you think they mean by that?
An agency owner, management team, again, whatever that looks like in your own organization, can't communicate too much, especially
so
now.
Yes.
And I say especially now, I mean, people are afraid. I'm concerned, right? I don't know what's going to happen. What I do know is that every crisis I've faced personally and in my business, I've survived because I'm here. And I think we all can say that. Now, what will it look like? But having an idea of, you know, what's coming next? Does my CEO, does my agency owner have a plan? What happens if, right? I mean, all the coverage questions now, what happens if insurance companies are required to cover business interruption claims? What does that mean for the industry? I mean, there's just all of this stuff going on. And I think people need to know that there's a plan. And Mitch, you mentioned when you started that I've written this book. Well, I actually just finished an article looking at the letter to employees that Jeff Bezos wrote to every Amazon employee this weekend. And I think it's a really interesting template that any business can use about how to communicate. And I won't go through the whole thing, but a couple of points here. One, he doesn't sugarcoat reality. He says, we've never been in this situation before. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. And he said, I'm afraid it's going to get worse before it gets better. So being realistic, but then he goes on to say, here's what we're doing, right? Here's the plan. Here's what we've done. Here's what we're doing. And we're meeting every single day looking for more opportunities to improve and to help. And I think those are some key areas for communicating, certainly now in the crisis we're in, but even when we get through this, and we will, I believe that, when we get through this, that same principle still applies. As I think this is a sea change in remote working, I think we'll see a lot of people, you know, not necessarily come back into an office. That same principle will still apply in terms of communicating, being realistic, know that there's a plan in place, know that there's a future coming, that there is something. And yes, there'll be hard times, but we've been able to survive those before.
Is that article, that paper that you wrote, available anywhere yet?
Not yet. I literally just finished it this morning, so I'm getting ready to publish it in a couple of places.
Okay. Let us know. I think a lot of our listeners would be interested in reading that.
Steve brings up a good point also about the communication coming from the top to settle a lot of those employees' fears of what are we doing as leadership to change what's going on right now. And when I was talking to my friend that I was talking about earlier, she mentioned that leadership from her brokerage sent out a message to all of their employees that if you are having trouble with finding childcare, where that is interfering with your job performance, to where, you know, the, I mean, you know what it's like to have little kids. You know, they're running in. They don't understand that you're on a video call with a client. So the brokerage is actually saying, we're going to accommodate your hours and your children, and you be with your family during this time. And that's how they're responding to it. And I think it's really neat to see how different corporations are responding and communicating with their employees and really showing their employees that they do matter. And that this is a situation that they're taking seriously. I think it's neat to see.
The concept of flexible is also one of the 7 tips from Inc.
Sorry, magazine. I keep jumping ahead.
it's fine. So, Steve, what do you think they mean by be flexible?
Well, one of the big pushbacks historically with agency owners has been, how do I know who's doing what and if they're being productive and all of that? And I think that's kind of starts that being flexible. But I also think it is being flexible in terms of work hours. So, you know, a lot of people have spouses at home and working together and children who are not in school, again, in the current environment. And being flexible in terms of how do we manage all of those things and what needs to happen, in our own lives, right? And they may be taking care of or being concerned about parents that are perhaps more at risk. And encouraging at the same time the necessity of getting things done. And so even talking within your family about how can we adapt, how can, you know, so in my case, I'm an early riser. My wife is not. So maybe I work early and she works late and you know, we trade off. So I think, again, for management, helping people think through these issues. And if you, as an agency, don't have a remote or work at home, you know, process or guidelines in place, you know, that would be a really good place to start is, yeah. You know, here's what we expect. I also think you need to communicate clearly with your clients. We are in an unusual situation and you may hear some kids in the background. And I think right now everybody understands, you know, that. And mm-hmm. So, you know, having some of those kinds of expectations managed well, it goes a long way to making it viable for everybody.
It's interesting. Another bullet point from the Inc. magazine is focus on outcomes, not activity. And that kind of goes back to the fear that you mentioned that a lot of agency principals have of how do I know what everyone's doing? How does that apply to focusing on outcomes and not so specific to the activities? Any thoughts from either one of you on that?
I had noted when I was reading this article on that very point and highlighted, here's where Kelly failed in the past when I was managing my staff. I was too focused on the activity and not on the outcome of how can we make this work. I was turned more into a micromanager, just calculating how many activities they were entering into the agency management system when they were in the office versus when they were at home, you know, just trying to really calculate things instead of really looking at the big picture. That really ties into that. You really do have to be flexible and there has to be a level of trust. What you said, Mitch, was perfect. You have to set the expectation, and the expectation has to be set so that that employee knows what the expectations are so that you can be flexible, you can build that trust, and you adjust as needed based on your outcomes, not on the activity.
So what would an outcome in an agency be versus a task?
The overall either service or sale of what's being done by that employee, you know, being able to adapt to the change of and utilize the technology that they have, and being able to show that they're able to produce work, not just that I'm able to push out work quickly, but you're still able to push out quality work.
So you upfront, you define the outcome and you measure performance on the outcome, not so much how they get there or where they do it or what time they do it.
Exactly.
Going back to Steve's point.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think this is where the agency management system capability comes in, because work is being done within the system. And so do you understand as management what that system is telling you? And again, it could be tracking, you know, how many activities are being completed. I mean, there are a number of ways to do that. You know, the best scenario is you have thought through that beforehand. If you haven't, then it is worth taking some time, maybe even contacting your vendor. Because again, all the vendors are saying, you know, we're here to help. How can we help you? Don't just kind of try and poke around yourself, but contact your vendor, contact your user group, say, here's my question. How do I do this? And I think you can get some answers pretty quickly. And then I'm always saying you manage the exceptions. So, you know, if you have somebody who's slower, one, don't assume they're just goofing off. Two, you know, find out what's going on. Maybe they have a parent that's having trouble, or there's other issues going on that aren't just they're not getting the work done, but there's some reasons that's happening. And I think that's where communication and flexibility, again, come into play.
So let's move now to some of the technologies that are available out there to facilitate some of the principles that we just talked about. So Steve, if you were an agency owner and you're trying to play catch up right now, a remote working team of people, what technologies would you be starting to take a hard look at and incorporate into the process?
Well, I'm actually going to start that answering that question out with, you know, be careful you don't introduce too many new platforms at one time. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, the potential is just piling more change on what's already a changed environment. You know, so with that said, you do need some tools. So if you don't have a video conferencing platform available to you, be that, you know, GoToMeeting or Zoom, or, you know, there are several potential areas there. That's probably one of the first things you need just to facilitate that connection. The most popular right now seems to be Zoom. Mm-hmm. I read that last week they had like 1,200% increase in their recording capabilities. You know, huge. By the way, they do use Amazon Web Services, so, you know, that's scaled up for them easily. They're able to handle it. The basic Zoom is free. There are some limitations. You can only have up to 40 minutes recording time for multiple people, but you can have unlimited one-on-one Zoom meeting. And then actually the paid versions aren't that expensive. And so that certainly is a platform that if you don't have, you really need to be looking at.
You know, at the National Alliance, every employee has Office 365, which includes Teams. And we've been using Teams internally now for, I don't know, Kelly, it's been over a year, I think. It's been quite a while.
Yes.
Which has really helped us in this transition. The software was already installed. People knew how to use it. And from my perspective with my teams, we've hardly missed a beat. I mean, I've been on Teams all day long in meetings that I would usually have. We've been able to hold all of our meetings. It's worked really well. And the individual subscriptions for Teams is not that expensive. Do you have any thoughts on that Microsoft product, Steve?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I think there are two of them that kind of immediately come to mind and are included in the Office 365 subscription, little variation depending on which subscription level you have. But first, as you mentioned, is Teams. And that does have some video capability, but also has some chat capability, which, again, as you said, so I think that's a great option. You know, Slack is a popular one, but again, that's a third-party platform. I think if you can keep it within the Microsoft kind of ecosystem, what people are used to, that's good. The other one I'd mention is OneNote. So kind of a note-taking, note storage platform that can be shared among people. My emphasis there is this is for non-client related information. So all of that goes into the agency management system, but a lot of other stuff that needs to be shared within the agency can actually go into OneNote and make it available to multiple people. So this helps with, you know, having to email documents and store them and find out where they are. They're in a central place that everybody can access. And I think that can become a great tool to use.
And OneNote's part of the Microsoft suite.
It is.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yes, and virtually every subscription to Office 365, OneNote's available.
Yes. And you can actually tie those into your teams. So when you have a OneNote, you can actually link that over to your teams and attach your files in your Teams message. Mitch, I thought it was very interesting here at the National Alliance. You said that, yes, we have been using Teams for about a year, but we do regular lunch and learns as employees to keep up with our education and professional development here as well. And 1 week before we went to all of us remote working, we had a Teams lunch and learn where we all started to learn more about these tools. And this just really threw us into the fire of how to use it and really, really utilize it as an organization and more efficiently than we had been using it. And so I think this really threw us into the fire of how can you work? You've got to use it and figure it out since you're all at home. So.
Yeah, one other way to look at that too is to task one person in the organization with, you know, doing the deep dive learning, and then, as you said, do the lunch and learn, you know, from there, and then, you know, open a channel, you know, a way to ask questions and have kind of crowdsourced answers too. So there's lots of ways to get that information out.
Steve, you mentioned earlier that agencies could call their agency management system vendor right now and ask them for help and advice. Do you have any specific examples of where that might come into play?
Well, I think, you know, any question on, you know, my capabilities of my management system, one can go to support at the vendor. So ask the question. Two is if your vendor has a user group, then that's another place to pose questions. You know, I know both Vertafore and Applied have really active user groups.
They do,
So getting that help, you know, from other users really can shortcut your learning curve and, you know, learn from their mistakes so you don't have to make them.
Any other software tools out there that you think people should look at?
Yeah, I think there are a couple that are what I would call unusual. Couple of resources for people. One is a number, if not most, state associations, you know, have a resource page. So one of the things to just to verify or make sure, depending on where you're physically located, is any compliance licensing requirements for working remotely. The one I'm aware of is Florida actually has a license called a 440, which is for an office staff CSR person that actually technically requires them to be in an office environment under supervision. Now, the Florida Department of Financial Services has waived that requirement during this time, but I don't know all states' requirements. So just, you know, just compliance and check with your state association with any of those kinds of things that might affect how you are able to operate. And then I've got a couple, Mitch, I would say are unusual ones, but again, I think potentially very valuable. One of them, and I've been using this now for probably 8 months, maybe longer, is called CRISP. It's K-R-I-S-P, and I believe .com. And what this does is you install it on a Windows or Macintosh computer, and it uses machine learning intelligence to reduce background noise. And actually, you know, I'm using it now. And So for example, that dog barking or the kid screaming, it actually is able to detect that separate from kind of the microphone input and actually really? Suppress that. So there's a free version, there's a paid version, but it's, again, a tool to help when we're in an environment that, you know, maybe not is not the quietest that we have available.
So it like turns your regular headset into noise.
Yeah, it actually installs as a microphone and, you know, and a headset on the computer. And actually, I just looked it up. It's krisp.ai is the website address. And it's actually pretty amazing how it works. So wow. Just, you know, again, there are several of those kind of little tools that working remotely, certainly with, you know, noise that you don't necessarily want, could be helpful.
What was the other
another one? Again, off kind of the beaten path, you probably won't hear a lot about something like this, but it's a platform I use called Handwritten, and it's HandWrytten. And basically, this is a company that uses 3D printers with real pens to write out notes. So you go to your website or a mobile app, put in the note, and they will actually write it. I put that in quotes, put it in an envelope, and mail it out for you. Why do I think that's important? Because you know what, agency owners, your staff needs encouragement. Your clients need to know you're still there. You need to be thanking people for the work that they're doing. And not direct technology, but it's a way, certainly in our environment with distance, you know, don't want to go to the post office, those kinds of things, is a way to stay in touch and encourage people.
That's really cool.
It's actually written with a pen. So it's not like it's laser printed. Right.
Right.
I think Steve will be getting a handwritten note from us today for joining us on this podcast.
That's an excellent
one. One other software that I used to use within the agency that I started using that would be helpful for agents when doing proposals. You know, think about right now, producers are not able, or even account managers are not able to go out and visit to offer a proposal to a client. So I used to use loom.com, L-O-O-M, where you can actually use your webcam, but you also use your PowerPoint and your screen capture to be able to capture the proposal as you're talking about it, still have that quote unquote face-to-face conversation with your client where they're watching you talk about it. And you can even, when you pay for the subscription on that, can even enter in where your asks are of items that you need to take care of during that proposal. So that's a very good program. And they are actually offering some discounts as well right now because of the large response that they have received in order to accommodate. So that's a good one.
Yeah, Loom's a great option. So yeah, I totally endorse that. There are a couple other ones that are very similar, just as options to look at. One is dubb.com. And I think Screencaster. Just be aware that Loom and these other platforms actually require Chrome to operate correctly, which shouldn't be a problem, but just be aware of that.
Important point. Thank you.
Great comments, you guys. I appreciate that. The last question I have for you before we close, and this is something that Steve mentioned earlier. He mentioned a sea change in remote working. You know, we've all been forced to, you know, embrace remote working. What are the unintended consequences of that, both pro and con? From your perspective, we will make it through this crisis. We will come out ahead. How is this experience going to change the office culture, in your opinions?
Kelly, I'll let you take that one first.
Go for it.
What I anticipate seeing, I see two culture shifts. I see where C-suites and agency managers, I think they're going to be a little bit more flexible, where we had a half and half, where there was a generation that was, my agency will never go to remote working. We will always be in the office and be present for our clients. But I think now with this situation, they're able to see that their employees are going to be there for them, and they're probably actually working more from home and have more time to work. And I think they're going to see productivity actually increase from this. And I think we're going to see some changes. What I think we're also going to see are that employees are going to kind of come back with a, look, you allowed me to do this during a point where we had no options. Can we talk about a little bit more flexibility and coming up with some expectations and schedules to where this can be a consistent thing and see it going forward? I think we're going to see a shift where more agencies are going to be accommodating and being more flexible to employees for remote working.
Yeah, I mean, we've experienced that just inside the National Alliance a bit. So I think you're right. Steve, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Again, I mentioned earlier, one of the resistance has, in the past at least, has been, you know, not wanting or not knowing if an employee is going to be productive. And, you know, almost all the studies show that a remote worker is more productive. I do think you will see perhaps a division, and this is not bad, but there are some people who, you know, don't do well kind of alone, isolated, and may do better in an office environment. There are some who do better, you know, in a remote situation. So I think you might see kind of more naturally two types or groups of people that will be able to function best in their environment and how they can function best. I do hope agency owners will kind of loosen up some in terms of their attitudes. And I think this is a kind of a grand experiment to see, you know, how does it work? And I would never wish that on anybody, but we're here. So let's take advantage of this experiment and work toward figuring out kind of the glitches and the things that aren't working and how we can even make it better.
Yeah, as Americans, we have this history of turning lemons into lemonade by learning from tragedy and taking what we've learned from it and making it even better. It's hard, but we will get through it and we'll learn a lot. We'll be better for it.
And I do hope one of the outgrowths of this is, you know, kind of a better understanding of technology infrastructure. So I think, you know, moving desktops to a virtual environment in the cloud where you don't have to worry about having the right computer to run things, and having those virtual, and I, you know, people becoming more comfortable on video and all of those things, I think, I hope, are some of the positive outcomes of this.
Well, thank you both very much. This has been a terrific conversation. Really appreciate your willingness to participate and your input.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.